Hey everyone, welcome back to the Trail Life Podcast. I'm your host, or original host, Jeff Stoner. Welcome and thank you for joining me on another podcast across the radio airwaves. I've got something special going on. You know, we've been very busy over here in the Endurance Race Series offices, and I haven't had a chance to really have a chance to record anything as of late. So I came up with the idea, which I think would be really cool for people to listen into, is doing kind of like short series or limited series, so to speak. And we are launching our first limited series here on the Trail Life Podcast. We're calling it the Switchback Chronicles. And your new host for the limited series is going to be Michelle Johnson, owner of Switchback. Michelle, welcome. And thank you for jumping in on the hosting here for a little bit.
Hey, Jeff. Yeah, it's been really fun. Something new for me. Got to, you know, speak with some really cool people. And so hopefully everyone digs it.
Yeah. So we've recorded three episodes. And so kind of lean into this first episode, because out of the 3 years that I've done the podcast, I actually haven't had these guys on. And so it was really kind of cool to go back and hear their story and how they got started. But you brought on Eric Spinn and Daniel Smith of San Diego Trail Runners. Is that correct?
Correct. So Eric Spinn, the founder of San Diego Trail Runners, Daniel kind of took over, and we get into that a little bit more within the podcast. Daniel Smith, they're both huge, a huge part of our trail running community, very well known within our trail running community. Daniel Smith's actually known as the godfather within the trail running community. So it's just a really fun interview with them, talking about how San Diego Trail Runners got started, what kind of their whole mentality is within the group and how they run the group, and kind of the story behind how Daniel got involved and what the group is all about.
Yeah. You know, it's cool, 'cause they are the epitome of the trail running community here in San Diego.
I think. Yes.
Like the way they run their groups, and how no runners left behind mentality, the way they share information with runners about what else is going on in the community, whether it's races or other group runs or you know, other things that runners are getting involved with. So it was really fun to see these guys on the show. And honestly, I don't even know how you did it. How did you even get Daniel to load up into Zoom? Because that dude is,
you know,
like, historic when it comes to technology. Sorry, Daniel.
there was a question mark whether he was even going to be popping up on the Zoom call. He's a little bit technologically challenged. Yeah. He knows it. He knows these things. We're not saying anything he doesn't already know. You know, I was like, just click on the link, Daniel. Just click on the link. You'll
well,
you'll figure it out. And then Eric, you know, he has two little kids. And so he was basically just trying to find a space to hide out and find some quiet to do it. So but we made it work, and they're both super awesome and so fun to talk to. And, you know, I've known them for a while now. So it was just a really fun interview to do. And I think even if you're not involved in trail running, it's something you would want to listen to, because it might make you want to come out and join the group and see what it's all about.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's just jump right into it. And I want to one more time thank you, Michelle, for coming in and doing a few episodes here. And as somebody who's editing the show, it's been really fun to listen in, especially this one coming up, like I said. So I hope everybody enjoys. This is the Switchback Chronicles with Michelle Johnson. Welcome to the Trail Life, guys. Eric Spinn and Daniel Smith.
Well, help me turn the turning. Well, help me get it right. Nobody, well, I don't wanna
doing?
Good. What up? Good.
Awesome. Thanks for doing this with me.
Of course.
Obviously, I am not Jeff Stoner.
What?
Usually Jeff does this, right? So for anyone who doesn't know or didn't hear, I will be doing a few episodes of this for Jeff. My name is Michelle Johnson and owner and founder of Switchback. And today we have Daniel Smith and Eric Spin from San Diego Trail Runners. So beautiful outside today.
It's so pretty.
Another gorgeous day in San Diego.
Yeah. Did you get a run in today with this gorgeous weather?
I did not. Daniel?
I am working in the yard.
I was doing gardening today. Yeah. And chasing the kids around. Yeah.
Cool.
Did you get a run in, Michelle?
Oh, no. I woke up at 4 a.m. this morning with the intention of getting a run in, and then I just went back to bed. So
that's good.
It's all right.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about San Diego Trail Runners, and I just wanted to start, and we can start with either of you, but I just want to start with before San Diego Trail Runners, when you each started running and why.
So I moved to San Diego in 2010, and I was a smoker. I smoked 2 packs a day. I loved junk food. I was on the McDonald's diet. I was skinny fat, as I like to say. But my now wife was moving out to San Diego, and she said the only way she'd move out here is if I quit smoking. So that's when I started running. She moved out here. I quit smoking. I would do laps in my apartment complex, and I worked up to 5 miles and thought it was the biggest accomplishment of my life. And then I signed up, I think a couple weeks later, signed up for the LA Marathon. And then it kind of has been spiraling from there. Yeah.
You went straight to the marathon.
You know me, Daniel. Yeah. I say, man, I think I can do this thing. And I trained for, I think, 6 months and, did my first marathon. And the rest is kind of, it's been going from there.
So that's back when you used to, like, actually train.
What's training, Michelle?
Yeah. Nice.
I used to run for boxing. We would do road work. I do 3 miles. I always felt like anybody should be able to do 3 miles at any time. You should be able to box 4 rounds at any time. I always had that in my mind. And then I coached my kids their whole childhood from 5 till probably 14. And then every sport, basketball, baseball, soccer. I never played soccer. So I bought a Soccer for Dummies book, and I coached every one of these sports, and I didn't ever want to, but it was always like somebody dropped out or there wasn't enough people to help or weren't enough volunteers. So I'd step up and I'd help. We were 0-8 in my very first football team. And then I jumped on as a defensive coach in my last year after 4 years. And we went to the national championships. So it was like a fun ride from the very worst team to the very best team in the nation. And so after that, it was December, and I came home and I sat down on the couch for 2 weeks. Same kind of thing. Like Eric, I was sat there eating everything, doing it, drinking and stuff. And then I thought there's gotta be something else. So I started running, and I told a buddy of mine, I said, hey, I'm going to sign up for a 5K. This was like in January. And then he goes, how far did you run today? I go, 3 miles. He goes, that's a 5K. I go, really? I didn't know. I'm like, so I said, maybe I'll do like a 10K. And he goes, do a half marathon or do a marathon. I'm like, I can't run that far. So I looked in this runner's magazine before there's anything really online. And I found the San Diego Half Marathon. And it was their inaugural race. And it was my very first half. So I've done that race every single year since. And just took off from there, just from halves to fulls. And then
I met Eric. I was going to say, how much has changed from both of you saying that you started with those 5Ks and that was a big accomplishment, and what you're doing now, which we'll get into in a little bit. But Eric is the founder of San Diego Trail Runners. Daniel leads San Diego Trail Runners. And I wanted Eric to touch a little bit on how did that idea or concept start? Where did that start? How has it evolved? And then we'll get into how Daniel's now the run lead. But tell us a little bit about how San Diego Trail Runners started.
I started running in 2010. And as my kind of running career progressed, you get in, people ask you to sign up for stuff. I started doing Spartan and Tough Mudder. And through training from that, my buddy Chris, who's now a close friend of mine, but took me to Mission Trails where we host our Mission Trails Monday. And he's, hey, let me show you this thing called trail running. I just did my first 100-mile race. I think this would be perfect training for a Spartan. And it was terrible. I hated it. I hated trail running. It was the worst thing I ever done. I couldn't keep pace. I kept trying to stare at my watch. I thought it was the dumbest thing ever. And then I got hooked because it was this thing I didn't understand and it was hard. And I kind of abandoned the trail or abandoned the road for more trail, signed up for my first 50K. And in that progress, so I'm in the Navy and I realized I was only running with Navy guys. And I would go to these races and I'd be at this dark dirt parking lot at 5:30 in the morning up in the mountains in San Diego County. And I'm like, I don't know any of these people. And everybody would have friends and their buddies and they'd be drinking beers afterwards. And I was so jealous that I didn't really know the trail community. So I ran with a lot of different groups. I got left behind a lot of times. You're lost in the mountains on a trail. You don't know where you're going. And I was like, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a club that will wait for you and show you this sport. And it can be a pretty, as we all know, the barrier to entry for trail running can be pretty great depending on who you are and your experience. And I never found what I was looking for. Didn't find a club or a group run that made me feel what I was trying to feel and that all inclusiveness. I'm a rock climber as well. So I wanted that feel like I feel when I'm climbing where everyone's just bringing you in and they want to teach you this kind of scary sport and they're there every step of the way. So I started my own. So 7 years into my running career, so in 2017, I decided to start my own club. And I went to a couple other group runs and I would tell people about it. And I got a logo made by Eric, who made your logo as well for Switchback. So I reached into the running community to help start this thing. At the end of the day, I did a meetup and I had one guy show up with his son the very first run. And that's Daniel Smith, who we're going to talk to in a minute. And we were at Mission Trails. We used to just run the same side every week, 4 mile loop, and it progressed from there. We did all out of salt on social media. I did. And I, as Michelle knows, I'm terrible at social media, but I dug deep. I did Instagram and a Facebook and a meetup, and I would post a couple times a week. And that's pretty much how it organically grew. And then by word of mouth, and now we're, what do you say, Daniel? Like probably at least 40 runners every Monday at our group run.
We get easily 450 runners.
So we've touched a lot of lives. And Daniel was my very first runner, and he's stuck with me ever since. And Michelle was probably my third runner, right? I think you're pretty close there after Michelle.
Yeah. I think I was second or third. Third.
It was me, Jeremy, Eric, Jeremy, my son, and I had the very first meetup.
Yeah.
I took him because I didn't want to. I was like, dude, I don't want to get killed out here on this trail. I don't know.
And I met Jeremy at another, what's the run? He used to have his own run. And I met him and told him about it and said that I was doing this thing. And he came and supported. But for the first couple of years, there was a small group, under 10 of us. And we called ourselves the Trail Fam, right? It was a small group. We had two kids, Kai and Locke. They were, I think, 7 and 10 at the time that would run with us with their mom. And now it's grown into this big thing. And there's pros and cons to both. But I feel like we've, hopefully impacted a lot of lives and taught people this or showed people this amazing sport that we all love. But that was the whole purpose of it. I wanted something that was open to anybody. Come run with us. We'll wait for you. You could hike it. You can run it. Run slow, run fast. It doesn't matter. Just everyone should have access to coming outside and enjoying trail running and whatever it takes. For most people, it takes you somewhere. But whether that's running trail 5Ks or ultras, it's all up to you. But that's how I started. And I saw a need in the San Diego running community, and it's still here and it's going. And we'll hear how Daniel has grown it since I started. And I got deployed a couple times. I've had two kids since then. So my life has drastically changed. And that's where Daniel's kind of story picks up with the San Diego Trail Runners.
Yeah, I've done a couple looking for groups, looking for Just Run. I did a couple other shoe company runs at road runs. And I didn't find a real club in our area that did trail running. So we're on meetup and I saw Eric had posted about San Diego Trail Running. I told my son, I said, I really want to, go run this group. I think they're close to my work. I work in El Cajon, so it's 10 minutes to either side of Claremont Mesa or Santee side. And Jeremy's ex-military, Eric obviously military, and I am also. So there was a road run group that I went to meet up with. And this lady and I were in the back. And it was a dark part of PB. And there was no street lights, really. It was really in beach areas, always, you never know. So I waited for her at one street sign. And then we went to the next light. And then she finally told me, she goes, "You don't have to wait for me. And I know the way." And I'm like, didn't feel comfortable leaving her behind. But then I also realized every runner has to be safe in their area and their surroundings. And I didn't want to make her feel uncomfortable, but it made me feel uncomfortable leaving somebody behind. So then I knew that this is not probably my club, which I still thought they were great. And I think they are great. So when we started ours and it was nobody left behind, that really means a lot to us, to the group. And so that was one of the, probably the most basic foundation of our group that's stuck from the day one till every Monday that we meet. And that was really, I really appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely. That's part of what the appeal was to me. And Eric touched a little bit on how the group has changed the way other people run and think about running and stuff. And me going to that first group run with San Diego Trail Runners has seriously impacted the course of what my life has taken. And that's a right. whole other story, yeah. But it's completely changed my life. So again, that's another story, but I really resonate with you saying that and how something like this can impact people's lives and make it less scary. And right. when people yeah. come to me and ask me about trail running, the first group I tell them to go to is San Diego Trail Runners. And when I explain the whole concept of No Runner Left Behind and how you all will stop at certain points and wait for the group to collect before you continue, people just think that's awesome. So that's the foundation of the club, and it's really cool.
And the thing I love too is we didn't really plan on this part, but that is, it's helped networking, right? You show up, we run what I think our first leg is maybe a half mile, and then you stop, and the fast everyone in front gets to meet new people and catch up with their old friends. Right. And it's really helped strengthen the community, I think, too, because you just, whenever people ask me, "Man, I'm looking for a training partner, but I can't find somebody my pace," I'm like, "Show up on Monday and you'll find that person."
I say the
both
same
be
thing.
Running the same speed. Yep. And then you'll start talking and, "Hey, what are you signed up for? What are you signed up for?" And then you guys will become training partners and hopefully pick up more people. And I think that's a side effect to the whole waiting for everybody that we didn't see, but it's been great.
Yeah.
And it's, go make more friends, go on the trail and enjoy it and have fun. And that's why I put, you guys know this, but that's why I originally put the group run on Mondays, because I assumed everybody was training hard on the weekends. And it's a good way to start the week, come out, see all your friends, see what people were up to on the weekend, who raced, who trained hard, keep it easy, mellow, enjoy conversation, and then start the week off on the trail.
Yeah, when we started Mondays, there weren't a lot of Monday groups, because, Monday's always tough. Monday's tough, and if we get, even in the cold, winter, rainy days, if we could get six people to show up, to me, that's a win, right? The summertime is easy. Everybody wants to run. Everybody comes out, and everybody enjoys the sun. There's a group now in San Diego. There's a group run every single day of the week. If not, there's two multiple groups.
Yep.
And that's beautiful to see, because as leaders, our goal is not to produce followers, it's to produce leaders. And I feel like within our community of San Diego, all of San Diego, with Ultra Bud, South Bay Trail Runners, San Diego Trail Runners, we've created a lot of leaders. And that means a lot. That means a lot to me.
Yeah.
Well, like I always tell Daniel is, I didn't create this club for me. I created it for the running community. And I wanted to outlast myself when I'm gone and moved away. I wanted to continue the sport of trail running and our kind of ethos of No Runner Left Behind, because it's a powerful thing. And I think everybody should have that place where they can come and blow off steam and enjoy their friends and do their thing.
Absolutely. I think San Diego has a really special running community. And I don't know if every city feels that way about their running community. I doubt it. I think we have a community that's super supportive of each other. All the run groups, all the running stores, everyone, no one's like competitive about who's got the most runners, who's doing, we all try to support each other and do what we can for each other within the running community. And we all want each other to go to each other's runs. And it is definitely something really special, I think, that we have here in San Diego.
It's funny that you mentioned that because I had a Baja runner tell me in certain run groups, if you run with another group, you're out. You have to run with your group. And if you run with, if they see you or if they're running with another group or above hanging out, they say, well, you can go hang out and run with them, but you're not part of this group. And so they thought it was really special that we've created this blanket where it's just anybody could run. You run with anybody. You want to run with us? We come on Mondays. Like we all support each other. Our Thursday group is going on 4 years now. Our trail, we've been 7 years. It's crazy to me how fast it's happened. Like it's,
evolved. Yeah.
I'm so thankful that Eric had the idea because we don't, obviously it's a free group, but it's $1 million idea. People say, how much is it? I go, it's a free group.
You start charging for it. Yeah. Club fees.
That's a fast way to get rid of people.
I wanted to go back a little bit to where you all are at in your running to start with a quote from Eric Spin. The 50K is the 5K of ultra running.
That's bullshit. That's bullshit if you run a 50K.
Oh, man.
So
it's a great quote. I'm eating those words.
being that, reflecting back on when you ran your first 5K, how do you feel about these words, Eric?
My wife, Kirsten, and I, whenever I would, she likes to humble me. It's a good spouse. She keeps me humble whenever I would say, I only ran a 50K. And she would say, do you hear yourself? That's 31 miles, right? You just ran 31 miles. There's people that can't run a mile. Let's go backwards a little bit and realize what you just said. I laugh when you say those words, Michelle, because now that I'm getting older, I turned 40 last year and I've got two small children and my body is... I'm going in circles with injury, right? I was good for the last couple of years. I signed up for my first 100 last year. I had to DNS because the injury started to creep in. And now I'm back to plantar fasciitis after being free of it for 3 years. And it's getting me. But those words, I don't like those words. I go back because to me, that alienates a lot of people. And now my perspective has changed. Going back to when I said trail running can be scary. It can be really scary when you run with, let's say, an ultra group.
Yeah.
And you're telling people, I'm training for my first trail, let's say 5K. And then you get people, I did 100 last week. Yeah. Instantly alienating those people. And that goes against our ethos of no runner left behind, right? Because you're making them not feel included anymore. And they're like, I guess my 5K doesn't matter. And so those words were said by a younger Eric, and I see things differently now. You can get on the trail. Road running is fine too. I don't want to alienate the road runners, but my passions do lie in trail running. And I think anyone that's done both understands where I'm thinking of. You're just out. It's quiet. It's just you and the trail. You're not worrying about cars and people and all these things and distractions. And you're just being one with nature. And I think when you can flip that switch and just run and just hit the trail, that great experience that you can get. Yeah, I love ultra and it's a great sport. And hopefully I still would like to run 100 miles someday. Right now I'm just listening to my body and going with what I can do. And if I can make it on a Monday and go run with all my friends, what I'm excited about right now, and take my kids hiking, that's where I want to be, is show them the trail and pass on my love for being outside and being on the trail. But ultra does have its place. And I still love the sport. I love the camaraderie of it. It's growing rapidly. As we all know, it's crazy to see that. My first 50K was in, what year was it? I want to say 2013, and it was Oral Flame 50K, which just happened, 2 weekends ago, Daniel?
Yep.
I remember just dirt parking lot with barely any people, and now you go to that race, and it's a packed parking lot. So it's progressed a lot, and people are getting out there, and they want to challenge themselves and push deep and feel some pain, which I think is all good things that we need to do. I still love the sport and I eat those words, but I'm glad you brought that quote up, Michelle, because it's definitely it's good to see when our perspective changes and we see things differently.
Yeah.
And I could ramble all day. Yeah.
I didn't mean it to put in like a negative light or put you on the spot.
No,
like that.
I love it.
But it's just obviously when you're depending on where you are at in the sport, your mindset changes. And I'm in the same boat as you right now with like getting out there when I can, doing what I can. So depending on where you're at in your life, that's
right.
How your mindset is.
And I used to beat myself up over those words because I would say, I only ran a 50K. All my friends did 100 and now a 200, right? People are doing crazy stuff. And
three.
They're doing
Arizona, 300. Arizona just sold out its 300 race.
Yeah.
300. They're doing malt that day. Yeah. So I think if you get fixated on that, you just drive yourself crazy and FOMO is real.
Yeah.
And you see what all your friends are doing and you're scrolling ultra sign up and you're seeing all these things and you got to focus on you and your body and your life and do what you can do. And as long as you're still active and out there and it doesn't matter.
This is why I'm not on Strava, but that's another
exactly.
story.
Exactly.
Daniel, you just a few months ago, October, finished your first 100 miler.
Yeah,
that is amazing. So awesome. And I know you had so many people. Everyone, let's start by saying that everyone knows Daniel in the running community here in San Diego. So there were so many people. Yeah. Rooting for you, like watching your journey, cheering for you. I was literally up in the middle of the night going to the bathroom on my phone, checking like where you were at in the race. So yeah, just can you give us a little recap on the 100? Are you planning on doing another one? What's up next now that you've conquered this?
He's a triathlete now,
major. Michelle. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you just did a triathlon too. So
I'm the king of DNF. I didn't finish I did Ironman. I did the swim great. I did my bike. I finished the bike and then they timed me out because I was 4 minutes late.
Oh, man.
Which was mismanagement of time. But it gives me something to train for next year. The 100 took me 3 years to accomplish.
The most stubborn runner we know, Michelle.
I can't tell if I'm stubborn or stupid, but either one, I just will. I told my wife the other day after Ironman, I said, I just want to finish like Ironman, just like a regular person. I just want to finish. And she goes, regular people don't do them, Ironman. Regular people don't do these 50, like Baja. Last year I did the 50K and it's the tough 8,000+ feet of elevation. One of the toughest races in our area. And I DNF'd that 1 year and I went back and I finished it and I cried. I had lost my cousin that year and it was like the first time I'd been out there and it was like cleansing. I was just crying. And then I was like, I have to get to the finish. I finished it with 10 minutes left. And then that kind of was the focus for Javelina. Hmm. And I said, I'm not going to do this again. This is my third time trying. So I got a coach. Hooked up with Nicodemus, guys might know him. He's one of the greatest, you know, ultra runners in our area. And I worked that freaking training plan to the T every day, 6 months. There was a weekend before the race itself. It was a 65-mile weekend. I had 20 on Friday, 25 on Saturday, and 20 on Sunday. And I was more afraid of that than I was afraid of the race. The race was, you wake up in the morning and you're going to run all day long, all night long, and all day the next day. There's nothing you can do about that. But training for it was like, man, and I remember talking to a friend and she said, you're going to be running that many miles anyway. I go, I guess you're right. So I refocused and settled down and stuck to the plan. And I finally, I did it. And I don't know. Sometimes I don't think I spend enough time thinking about it. It's 100 miles. It's 100 miles. It's the biggest race I've done. But yeah, I don't know. It was pretty amazing. And it was amazing the amount of support that I got from all you guys. And it's really humbling.
I love how both of your wives keep you in check.
Oh, yeah.
Like, hey, Ironmans and like ultras, like in our minds, because we are within that community, right? It seems like it's a lot of people. It's still less than 1%. Crazy, like less than 1% of our entire world population that does these things.
Yeah.
It's still like amazing.
It is.
Yeah.
What's funny is I remember training for San Diego Half and running like the 5 miles. Then I ran my first 10 miles like on a training run. That was like, it was huge.
Yeah.
And, but I still never forget. I tell people all the time, like 10 miles is a long run. 8 miles to me is, so you go, oh, I have a long run this weekend. How long? 8 miles. That's great. That's great. 8, 10, 12 miles. Those are long runs. There's, oh, you, that doesn't, you've done some more miles. Still a long run. There's nothing you can change about that. It's, 10 miles is great. 8 miles is great. Our 4 mile Mondays, some people come and it's a recovery day. So that might be somebody's longest run of the week. We're there the same for anybody.
Absolutely. We need to give ourselves a little bit of grace and sometimes remember where we were once at or where we've, you know, had to build up from. I remember when I could run my, I ran my very first 4 miles without stopping. And that to me was amazing. Yeah. Yeah. I think sometimes we forget those things and it's good to have the wives that will
keeping us grounded.
Remind you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Daniel, do you have anything else on deck for this year?
100K.
Okay.
But I have a plan. I'm just going to go have fun and I'll do a loop in the morning. I'll do a loop at night because there's a group going out to do the night run, which is a 20-mile loop.
Okay. And then
sometime after that, I'll do another loop and then and be done.
It probably doesn't sound as daunting now that you've done the 100-miler. You're like, oh, I'm going back for 100K.
Yeah.
No big because deal.
For the same amount of time. Like you start like a half hour later, but then you have pretty much the whole day. So I just have to do, like I said, one loop in the morning, one with the group, and then one more, which it is still a huge deal. But the way I, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I'll have fun. It'll be a fun time.
Yeah.
So when you're out there, see, I have friends that can't fathom running a 5K. They just, so my range of friends, are, it's funny because there's non-runners and then there's ultra 300-mile runners. And so I tell them, you wake up in the morning, you crack a beer on Saturday morning, you put meat on the grill, you go watch football, you come back out and take the meat off. Say 6 or 8 hours go by. The same, I'm doing the same thing. And they're like, it's not even close. But I go, but it is because I wake up in the morning, I start running and then I have my snacks. So you have your nutrition, you have your hydration. When you're with your friends, the time
goes. You'll probably have a beer in there too.
You have a couple, yeah. Right? One or two. Like the time goes by anyway. You might, it's what's the difference? But
might as well be out in the middle of the night running.
Yeah. We did that too. We would start at my house at 10 at night and run till 3 or 4 in the morning to get like 20 miles practicing for nighttime training. That was something different.
For both of you, what would be your best advice for anyone that's wanting to just now get into trail running?
The hardest part is showing up. Everything else becomes easy because like you said, you show up, you meet somebody, you hang out in a pack, right? We're in packs. So then you say, oh, this guy, he runs pretty well and I can hang out with him. And then you, oh, so I'm training for a 10K or a half. I'm training for a 50K. Oh, wow. What's that like? And remember the first time Eric told me about a 50K, it blew me away. I went, why would anybody do that? Like, how? And then somebody later, a little bit later, told me it's like a marathon. And then you add 2 hours. I'm like, why would you add 2 hours for 6 more miles? Like, that's the dumbest. It's exactly that. It's or more. And it's like, it's a, such a masterless sport, but the hardest part of it all is showing up. You just have to start running.
And I think I agree with Daniel. And then my thing would be mentorship. You find that runner that may not be your pace, maybe they're faster or slower, but they've done this stuff. Because I tell everyone when they tell me, oh, I did my first 50K. And I never ask what your time was. They say, what did you learn? What did you learn this weekend? Because it's probably going to be a really long list. Of I didn't fuel properly, I didn't get enough sleep, I had stomach issues, I chafed, all these things. In every race, you learn something different, and that's the beauty of the sport. And you suffer in different ways, and you learn differently, and then you change it, tweak it for the next race or the next long run. But find somebody that's done it a little bit, because there's different areas in the country where it's not as popular or where there might not be group runs. But I think you can hopefully always find somebody that's done it, and Strava is a good tool. I met a guy once. I found him in my neighborhood and I started following him, and he started coming to our group runs because I started following him. And then I started messaging him because, of, hey, you run the same trail I run. And I wanted to know who this guy was. And he thought I was crazy. And then we finally met in person. He's like, I thought you were nuts at the beginning. I was like, no, I just wanted to meet more people in my neighborhood that ran the same trail. But there's people out there. And I think as extreme or crazy as people think that trail running or ultra running is, I think there's always people around doing it. And that's the beauty. It could be your mailman, your dentist, your kid's teacher, right? You never know who's into this sport. I met a guy at the playground the other day. He's wearing ultras with some darn tough socks. And he had what did he have on? A Steely hat or a Sealy hat. And I'm like, hey, man, are you a trail runner? Yeah.
Did you just come off of the trail to the playground?
Right. He's at the playground, and there was a trail right next to the playground, and him and his wife were trading off. One would hang out with the kids for 15 minutes, and the other one would go run, and then they'd come back, and they would trade off. And I saw this, and I'm like, man, they got to be runners. So you never know who's into this stuff, and find somebody you can learn from. And just like Daniel said, just show up, sign up for a race. It may be terrible, but you're going to learn a lot. And then you can carry it over. And I know I always joke at our group runs, Daniel and I would do the intro and we'll talk about what races are coming up, who ran what. And I am brutally honest with this sport. I will tell you, this is a dumb sport all day, but I love it with all of my heart, but it's still pretty stupid at times. And Daniel too, and Michelle, I know we're all the same. We know there's times where you're like, why am I doing this? But then there's times you're like, man, this is the greatest thing I've ever done. So it's getting through all that. But yeah, just showing up and asking questions and being a sponge, and remember that we're supposed to be doing this for fun. That's it.
Yeah.
Right. This is our hobby. We're supposed to be doing this for fun.
It's supposed to be fun. How many times do you think we've looked at each other when we're doing something like just trekking up some giant mountain and looking at each other and going, this is fun, right? This is fun? Are you sure this is fun?
You and I, Michelle, we have had this moment many times, and all three of us have, but it's just, this is brutal. Yeah. I'm just picturing our first time up El Cajon, like you.
When I wanted to do repeats of El Cajon?
The base you did, yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, just wanted to throw a fun question in here. Yeah. When I'm out on a long run, long race, usually at some point, I literally start to daydream about a slice of pizza and an ice cold Coca-Cola. Sometimes that's like what gets me through those last few miles. Man, I can't wait to have that. What's your daydream food or drink when you're getting through those long miles?
Mine's a Cali burrito and a grape soda. Those are my, and we know a cold beer, right? I'm a big fan of beer. Those are probably my three, but the burrito is always the thing of, man, I'm going to hit a taco shop on the way home. This is happening. I just ran 20 miles. It's 102 degrees, and I'm getting a burrito and a grape soda. Or a Topo Chico.
Or the Topo Chico. We are not sponsored by Topo Chico, but we love Topo Chico. Not yet. Topo Chico.
Oh, that's the wild card. Yeah, the Topo Chico in the cooler in the car on the way home. Yeah.
Yeah. Danny knows what's up with that.
Oh yeah, yeah. He hooks. He's always prepared.
He hooks it up. Yeah.
I ran the ranch 50K one time, and literally I could picture this, the cups that come around and it comes down the bottom for the cup holder you put in your truck.
Yeah.
And it was like sweating and it had a Sprite in it. And I was like, man, I was just chasing it. I was like, I can't wait. I finished the race. I drove by Carl's Jr. It was a car, like in this Carl's Jr. logo, I could picture. I drove by Carl's Jr. and I was like, I don't want that anymore. But the whole time I was running, I'm like, I am going to get this biggest Sprite. I had this vision. But then after I finished, I was like, I'm all right.
Yeah, I just envision you like the cartoons where they see like a person and they look like the Sprite, right?
Yep. Oh, that's probably what it was. The person was probably like that. And then all at the bottom.
That's hilarious.
I did my very first Spartan race in Temecula. I dreamed of a bacon burger the entire time. and the group we were with wanted to go to In-N-Out, and I'd never been to In-N-Out. And I go and I order a bacon burger, and they're like, sir, we don't have bacon at In-N-Out. And I was so offended and so upset that they didn't have bacon.
These
are the things, right?
They'll never survive.
Yeah.
In and out. Nobody goes there.
No, yeah. In and out. Oh my gosh, you guys. That's hilarious. Well, yeah. So if whoever here is local, needs local, awesome trail running group, even if you're just getting started, even if you've been trail running forever, They are still an awesome group. San Diego Trail Runners, their main runs, Monday evenings, 6 p.m. Mission trails. They are on all the social media, so you can check time and location and all that good stuff. Yeah.
And what we love is we get a lot of vacationers, people that show up to our runs. And, hey, I'm from Cincinnati, and I took my kids to Disney, and we decided to do 3 nights in San Diego, and I found you guys on Instagram. Yeah. And come run with us. And I think San Diego's got one of the best trail communities in the country, trail running communities. So come check us out and see what we offer, and it's a good time.
Awesome. Thank you so much, you guys, for taking
time
to do this on a Saturday evening. Wait, is it Saturday? Saturday evening. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.